So I have Pastor Ramin on the line in California. Pastor Ramin, this is Bob Creel, my co-producer and partner. We heard some really troubling story about you going to the Mall of America, and we were wondering if you would like to share this with us.
Good afternoon, Pastor. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Thank you. Well, you know, I believe, spiritually speaking, I believe, you know, God brought me there, and all these things happened to make some awareness, because even before I came to Minnesota, I just came there to speak at a few churches, and for 3 days. I came on Friday, and I just got back to California.
People are having doubts whether several people contacted me and said, well, we can't believe this is true. I think it's best if we can hear it from your own voice.
Well, I have witnesses, you know, we're three people together when this happened, and I have the police report, I have the security report.
By the way, both Bob and I already made calls to the Bloomington police, so we're waiting for them to get back with us and tell us what they have to say about it. I went to your website, and it sounds like you have quite a story to tell, meaning in terms of your life in Iran and where you've come from. Can you give us a little context?
Yes, definitely. Well, I was born and raised in Iran as a Muslim myself, and 13 years ago, I gave my heart to Jesus. The Lord reached out to me, and I was oppressed in Iran. I was arrested, beaten, and so I fled Iran, went to Turkey as a refugee. In Turkey, I was arrested multiple times for giving Bibles away to people, and then eventually I came to America as a refugee in 2008, and so I've been serving the Lord. I started church here in California. I went to a Bible school in Oklahoma. And then I moved to California to start a church among Persians. And I travel around the world and preach the gospel as the Lord opens doors for me. I just came back from Mexico where our airplane crashed. And that's what was the news in the recent airplane crash. And that was on all the news all around the world.
If I can just interrupt you, by the way, Bob, I didn't have the time to brief you on that. But I picked up on that story as well. And I checked on it. And he was in a plane crash in Mexico. The whole plane burned down, from what I understand. No one was killed. You filmed it with your phone, and it was on Care 11, actually, featured. I don't know how long ago that was, but that was quite a story as well.
All over Fox News and CNN and NBC, ABC, all the major media, they began to cover it. It was when the airplane crashed, I say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The nombre de Jesus in Spanish too. I don't speak Spanish, but it just came out of me. And God really saved us. It was a miracle. So that just happened on July 31st, just a couple of weeks ago. And so then I had an arrangement in Minnesota to go to speak at a church, a Hispanic church, actually. And they invited me to speak there. And actually, they invited me like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. They invited me. We set the date, and it was August 24th that is supposed to go to, was supposed to be in Minnesota. So I came there and I spoke at a church on Saturday. And after the church, his pastor and his son told me that, let's go to the mall. We're going to show you the biggest mall in America and in North America. And they have an aquarium and whatever. So went to the mall to see the mall. And then we didn't have tracks. We didn't have, you know, books to give away. We were not soliciting. We're not advertising. And even if we were, it's, I mean, I don't think that should be illegal. Or
Pastor, were you there alone?
No, we're three of us. The pastor who was my host,
okay.
Because it was my first time in Minnesota. So it was me, this pastor who was my host, and his son. His son is like 14 years old. So me, his pastor, and his 14-year-old son. So we went to the mall, and just randomly ran to some Muslims, and we just began a conversation. Just as we were walking, we just began to talk with Somalis, and we didn't tell them anything. At first, they said, where are you from? And they said, from Somalia. And they asked, what about you? I told them, I'm from Iran. And so the conversation led to whether I'm Muslim or not. I said, no, I used to be a Muslim, but I'm a Christian now. And they said, oh, why? Why did you change? What happened? So I began to tell them. I was telling my story, and they were listening. And then another lady who was not a part of the conversation, she was another Muslim lady with hijab, Somali woman. She was a few steps away, and she heard our conversation. So she told the security that we are harassing them. They said that this guy is harassing us and is attacking us and so forth.
What was the conversation between you loud and seemingly out of control in any way?
No, absolutely not. It was actually very... very common. They were listening. I was talking, they were listening. Very respectful, very just a casual conversation. If you have someone in a coffee shop or just talking very normally. I'm not a kind of person who go and scream, you're going to go to hell, I'm a fan.
Actually, I can tell just by your... No, honestly, I can tell, Pastor, by your demeanor in this conversation. It doesn't appear to be your style.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. So then I told them that, so we were talking and these two ladies were listening to me, to my story. And this lady began to interrupt us and told the security. Security was just a few steps away. Actually, we were doing it in front of security. So security had no problem at that point. I mean, I don't know if he heard us or not, but he was not too far away. So this lady began to scream and say, hey, this guy's harassing us. And so security came and told me, hey, you cannot do this here. You're soliciting. And so they began to tell us they cannot do this, you're not allowed to do this. And I said, okay, but you're not soliciting. We just had a conversation. And they wanted to talk to me. They were asking, actually. And then so we just walked away, went to a coffee shop. We got a coffee, and we came out of the coffee shop. And when we came out, we saw three security guards, you know, waiting for us. And then they told us that we should leave right now. I said, why should I leave? They say you should leave because you are soliciting here. I said, we're not soliciting. I came here to see the mall. I told them I'm out of town. I'm a guest here. I just came to see the mall. And they said, no, you cannot be in the mall right now.
What did they think you were soliciting?
Well, they thought I'm advertising or like, you know, preaching or, you know, going around and preaching to people. And I wasn't doing that. I was just in the mall, you know, randomly to these people. And there's a lot of them. So we just happened to talk to some of them as we went. And God knows when we left the church to go to the mall, we didn't have any intention of going to, you know.
You were just going as a visitor, just an out-of-town visitor.
Absolutely. And my whole trip was 3 days. I was there on Friday and I just came back 2 days. So I didn't have time to go and do like outreach there. That wasn't my thing. I just was there to speak at a few churches and the pastors and church members can testify.
Now, was this the mall security or was this the Bloomington Police Department on site?
No, it was the mall security. So the mall security came and they told me to leave. I said, why? Give me a reason why I should leave. I said, because you're soliciting. I said, we're not soliciting. And my friend, who was a pastor, he told me we're not soliciting. We just came to see the mall. And then so he said, you're under arrest. And then they began to take my coffee from me in my hand. And they handcuffed me from behind. And then they took me to the security room. They tied me to this metal chair. And both my hands. And they pat me down first. They took everything from my pocket. They took my watch. And they had me sit on this metal chair. They tied me both hands handcuffed to this chair. And then the chair was bolted to the ground. So they handcuffed me. And then I said, why are you guys doing this? So they said, because you are, and he said, criminal trespassing. I said, what do you mean criminal trespassing? Isn't the mall open to public? He said, yes, but you cannot solicit. I said, I was not soliciting yet. So then I asked them for water. They wanted to take my picture to file their report. And I said, no, you're not allowed to take my picture. I didn't do anything. And you wrongfully arrested me. Then I asked them for water. I started thirsty. They said, well, if you allow us to take your picture, then we'll give you some water. So imagine, I mean, this is like basic human right. They have to give me water. And they said, no.
Please pardon me, Pastor. Sorry to interrupt. But this is incredible. I feel as though I believe that I'm thinking you must be in the former Hugo Chavez's Venezuela or Castro's Cuba to experience Absolutely. This kind of treatment. This is insane.
It is. And then I asked him, I want to go to restroom. And they said, no, they didn't allow me to go to restroom. When I asked them for water, they said, if you allow us to take a picture, then we'll give you water. So he took the cup, he showed me the cup. He said, I give you some water in exchange for the photo. I said, no, I don't want you to do that. So he put the cup down and went and sat in his chair. And I'm tied to this chair, sitting there for almost 2 hours. Now, eventually, they gave me the water. So one of them, a new guy came in, and one of the security guys was newer. He wasn't in the beginning there. So he told me, I said, sir, I'm thirsty. So he gave me the water and then says, now, can I take your picture? I said, no. So and when he did it, he was trying to make me to let them take the picture. So I didn't allow them. And I asked him, I want to go to the restroom. They didn't allow me. Eventually, they did, like, toward the end, they let me to do it. But then they called the police. They filed a report. They tried to take my picture. So one of the guys, the supervisor, I believe he came, was talking to me. They were trying to distract me so he could take my picture. And as I was talking to this guy, he was trying to take a picture, put my hand in front of my face. So he took a picture with my hand on my face. And they have the picture. If you ask him, they have the picture with my hand.
On behalf of every pastor, I have to say this. On behalf of every adult Minnesotan with half a brain, please accept our apology. No one deserves to be treated this way, especially a guest in our state. And all of this emanated from the behavior and accusation without witnesses by one Somali woman claiming that you were harassing them?
Exactly. And then I have witnesses that I wasn't. I have these two people are with me. I love all kinds of people. I love Muslims. I know that they need to believe in Jesus to be saved. I know that they need to receive Christ in their heart. But I don't go around and harass people. Although I have family members who are Muslims. I have relatives who are Muslims. And I'm Christian. And I tell them about Jesus, but I don't harass them. I don't attack them. I don't demonize them. But of course, there's no tolerance in Islam. So when I say that, you know, I fled two Islamic countries, came to the United States as a refugee, as a religious refugee to be here in freedom. And I wouldn't believe in 1,000 years, I wouldn't believe in my mind that I would be arrested and handcuffed in a mall for my faith, for talking in a conversation. Imagine you're in a coffee shop, you're talking to someone over a subject that a third person happened to be there, doesn't agree with that, and then tell the police or the security that this guy is harassing us or whatever.
Let me see if I understand this. One of my favorite lines is, explain it to me like I'm a 4-year-old. What happened when the Bloomington, Minnesota Police Department showed up?
The police, nothing. The police officer came in. He didn't even ask me what he had done. He just went over the report, read the report, whatever they wrote. They read it. And then he asked me, why didn't you leave? I said, why should I leave? I said, I was here. I just came into the mall. It was like 5-10 minutes when I was in the mall. And I said, you're not allowed to solicit here. I said, I was not soliciting. He said, can I talk about religion here? I said, I was not talking about religion. I was just telling my, they asked me, actually, God is my witness. They asked me, why did you change? I said, I used to be a Muslim, but I'm a Christian now. I found Jesus and he changed my life. And they asked me, why? What happened? Why did you change? And as I was, so they asked me to tell them why I changed. And as I was explaining to them in a very peaceful, calm demeanor, not harassing or screaming. And then what happened was the third lady who overheard us, she went and told the security that this guy is harassing us.
So when the Bloomington Police Department showed up, the officers, and they read the report, they understood you had been detained for 2 hours, shackled to a metal chair in their interrogation room, I suppose, and they must have questioned you and asked you if you were actually soliciting. You then told them, no, I'm just a visitor here, and that these people were engaging you and asking you questions because you explained that you were born in Iran and that you had changed from being a Muslim to Christianity, and that was it. And then you left, as I understand it, and went into the coffee shop, and you separated yourself from them along with your friends and went to have coffee. So they waited for you to come out of the coffee shop at that point. You were not engaged with the Somali people at that point at all. You had voluntarily walked away from that event. And so their argument is a mystery to me. I'm stymied, and I'm amazed that the Bloomington Police Department would carry that any further than the 2 hours where you were inconvenienced by detention shackled with handcuffs.
So when the police came, I thought the police had more understanding and they're going to, tell me the Miranda right and tell me that you can't. Yeah, I told them, can they call a lawyer? Can they call a proxy? They said, no, they didn't give me a phone. They didn't give me water. They didn't give me, let me to go to the restaurant.
Oh, please, hold on. Just one, I apologize for interrupting. So the Bloomington Police Department, their officers came. You asked for water. You asked for your Miranda rights. You asked for a phone call. And they refused also?
I didn't ask the police for water and for restroom because before the police officer came, they eventually toward the end, they let me go. And they wanted the photo. That's why they let me to go to the restroom and give me water. But when the police officer came, I told them, sir, they arrested me unjustly. I was not. The police even didn't ask me what happened. They didn't even when they took me to the police department, when they handcuffed me, they took the handcuff off the chair and he tied it from my behind, both my hands, and he carried me to the car, to the police car, and he drove me to the police department. And they even didn't ask me, why are you here? What happened? They just went off with the report, whatever the report said. Very unprofessional. I couldn't believe this is America. I have so much respect for police officers.
Did anyone offer you time to seek a lawyer or to make a phone call?
No, I told them multiple times when I was in the mall, can I use my phone? Can I talk to? And the church people were calling me. The pastor who was with me was, constantly calling me. I could hear the vibrant on my phone, and they put my stuff in a bag, in a little basket, and a few feet away from me. And I was trying to say, hey, can I take my phone? Can I call a lawyer? Can I talk to? When the police came, I said, these people arrested me. They didn't give me any Miranda rights. And I don't think do they have don't think even they have a right to do that. And they said, No, they do not.
So you have, now you're at the Bloomington Police Department. What did they do then?
I was in handcuffs. They asked me to sit down, and then it was they did my mug shots. They took my pictures, and then they did my fingerprinting, and so they just went all the way through the process. And I was telling one of the guys that, hey guys, they arrested. I was just visiting mall, and he says, "Oh, it happened. I don't believe you." The police officers say, they didn't even ask me like, "Why are you here?" And the way I dress very normally. I don't have tattoos. I don't have, you know. Even you can take off the mark. Take a look at the mark shot that I have. I don't look at.
What happened to the? Pardon me for interrupting again. I apologize, but what happened to the friends you were with?
Well, they since they arrested me in the mall, I didn't see them because they were looking for me. They didn't know where to go. They were calling, they called other church members, trying to. They didn't know what to do, basically. So the church members didn't know who to go to, where to go, and eventually. When I was in the police department, after they finished everything, then they allowed me, then they bailed me. So they put a bail, I paid the bail, and then they told me you can call your friends to come to pick you up. That's when they gave me a phone back.
How much bail did you have to post?
It was $78. It wasn't much, but it's still, you know, for doing nothing, it was a lot. For just being...
Anything over a red cent is too much for this. This is incredible. I'm so sorry. I'm actually beside myself at the moment, and almost speechless for someone who's on air, trying to make any sense whatsoever relating to this fiasco.
Yeah, it was, you know, just a few. I heard that a few. Afterward, somebody told me that just that mall had a celebration for Muslims just a couple of days before that. And then they had celebration at the Vikings Stadium. They had celebration at the U.S. Bank that you guys mentioned. So this is like very alarming. I mean,
Pastor, I have to tell you, my associate producer and I broke that story locally, regionally, and nationally. Otherwise, no one here would have known about it because it was a massive cover-up and stealth program put together that is just unprecedented in Minnesota or anywhere else I'm aware of, connected to a major NFL football stadium event. And I have to tell you this: this story, upon the backdrop of that, is even more astonishing because. You were there as an out-of-town guest and visitor, and these people, based upon hearsay, treated you like a criminal.
Absolutely. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I've been, you know, in Muslim countries, they treat you, you have zero right. They have a pastor in Turkey, Pastor Brinson, who is arrested in Turkey for being a pastor. And they accuse him of all kinds of things. And I know that the U.S. government is trying to help him out. And but I went in Turkey. I was arrested a few times for being a Christian. They came to our church. They arrested us. But I wouldn't even believe that in America, because we came to America in the land of the free to live here. And, you know, a Christian nation, a nation that respects human rights, that respects people. So I wouldn't even imagine when they had.
We actually, believe it or not, I know it's probably hard to believe at this moment, we actually have a United States Constitution and a Bill of Rights, and unlawful, in my view, detainment of an innocent citizen and a pastor, no less, simply because people engaged you at the mall and wanted to know why you, from born and raised in Iran, converted at one point in your past from being Muslim to Christianity out of their curiosity. And one woman who did not like that exchange essentially made up a story that you were harassing them. That to me is astonishing.
Yeah,